John.
Oh my God, an insane goal!
The game's gone mad.
Hello, it's The Game's Gone Mad with me, Olivia. This week we found out that Rihanna shops at Sainsbury's, so we're talking about why Mkhitaryan hasn't bought a ticket to Baku, if Juventus can sell Sarri an exit out of London, and why Ada Hegerberg won't be spending her summer at the Women's World Cup.
The game's gone mad.
So our first topic is Mkhitaryan will not be able to go to the Europa League final. The Arsenal midfielder won't be able to play against Chelsea next week due to fears over his safety on the pitch in Azerbaijan. It's down to the political tensions between Mkhitaryan's home nation of Armenia and Azerbaijan. He has missed games before that have been played there, but obviously, considering the high-profile status of the Europa League final, it's back in the spotlight. Patrick, why do you think this is setting such a bad precedent?
Well, it just seems like UEFA hadn't given any thought to the fact that some players might not be able to go. And it's absurd for a player not to go because they don't feel safe. Like that,
terrifying.
That's genuinely insane. And they weirdly as well have given no proper reassurances. Like they said, look, he'd be fine. And like the Azerbaijani foreign minister, I think, said that, oh, I'll personally guarantee his safety. But then he was also like, well, if he's going to just make a big deal about the issue rather than just playing the game. And you're like, well, it is his safety and the safety of his family. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have kind of said that, at least it's like Mkhitaryan and not Aubameyang, in which case it would probably be, honestly, it probably would be a bigger deal if it were like Arsenal star player. But it's a significant player. It's a squad player who is like, who could well have a key contribution in that sort of game.
Yeah, I think he's made like 11 appearances in the Europa League.
And he's been good. And he scored in the final for United a couple of seasons ago. And he was really good in the season before that for Dortmund. So, I mean, he is a crucial player. But yeah, you just can't be in a situation where people are not going to go to the place because of safety fears. It just reminds me of Sepp Blatter's response when people talked about gay fans going to the World Cup in Russia.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not the first time, is it, that locations of these tournaments have become a problem?
Yeah.
Because obviously we had concerns over safety for fans at the Russian World Cup, and then there are so many concerns for like basic human rights at Qatar.
Yeah.
And we've got problems in for the Europa League now and in the Champions League with fans not even being able to get to Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, it's mental in general. Like, imagine normally trying to go to work and you're not allowed to go just because of where you're from.
Yeah.
It wouldn't stand. And I also think it wouldn't stand if it was someone like Messi or Ronaldo or even Hazard. I think if it was Hazard, even Hazard, I think it would be a very different situation.
I think
right
that's
now.
Probably true.
But what do you think is the answer? Do you think it's down to the clubs just to boycott it and say, we're not going to play the final?
I mean, of course. Like, everyone says, oh, the clubs should boycott it. They should boycott it. But this is the first time.
They can't afford to.
They can't.
Like, Arsenal can't say, like, because what if UEFA's then just like, okay, Chelsea win.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you're in the Champions League
football
again.
Exactly. It's mental. Like, I feel for him as well, because even I remember, I think it was the UK minister for Armenia, for Azerbaijan.
The ambassador.
Yeah, the ambassador in the UK. And he said something along the lines of, he's a footballer, don't get involved with the politics, which is mental.
Like, when it's your
They're
own safety,
crossing over though, aren't they?
You are involved in the politics.
Exactly.
And also,
can't
politics
separate
have
yourself.
Always been part of football. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous to pretend they're not. But it just seems like, I mean, a lot of people have responded to it as well by being like, oh, it's two English clubs, why don't they just play at Wembley? But I mean, you do sort of wonder why UEFA are so committed to it being in Baku. Because it's weird that they've been so kind of complacent about this whole thing. Like, that their attitude to it seems to be like, why is everyone making a big deal?
And there hasn't been a successful outcome. Like, he's not going. So that's that.
Well, I think for UEFA,
they
would consider that. Yeah, for UEFA, in their books, they've done everything right in terms of they promised his safety, nothing will happen, he should play. And if he says he doesn't want to play, for UEFA, that's fine. Like, they see nothing wrong with it. Apart from a negative image, which isn't really going to affect
about,
them.
Yeah,
yeah, they've had the outcome they want, haven't they?
Yeah, it doesn't matter for them at all.
Yeah.
It's sad. It is so sad that this is what it's come to. And you just don't know what to say. Like, I think everyone's in agreement when it comes to it. It's like, move it or don't play. But
I think it would be a bigger issue as well if there were a larger Armenian population in the UK.
Yes, 100%.
Because it's an issue for fans as well, right?
Yeah,
like Armenian
exactly.
Like I saw some Arsenal fan accounts, I'm sure it's the same for Chelsea, saying like, we have Armenian fans who cannot go to this game because of fears for their safety.
Yeah.
Like, if this were, say, like, you know, an issue with like Turkish people and it was German clubs, like if it were a significant portion of the population, then it would be an issue as well. Yeah.
But I get lost for words through it. I really do. Like, it's just like
so. For the listeners that don't know, Zach is a Chelsea fan.
I am.
And Patrick is an Arsenal fan. So we are pretty set up, ready for the Europa League final. But Patrick, what does Mkhitaryan's absence mean for Unai Emery? Do you think he would have played in the final?
I'm like 90% certain he'd have played. I don't know if he'd have started, but he'd have featured for sure. Like, he's played quite a lot in the Europa League. We often use him as an impact sub. Mm-hmm. Like, because we don't...
And experienced in finals.
Yeah, and because we don't have Ramsey. Ramsey's out injured. Like... I mean, Welbeck's trying to get fit again, but with Ramsey out injured, like, Mkhitaryan and Iwobi are like our go-to attacking subs.
Yeah.
And so, like, now we're basically down to like Iwobi. If you just end up in a situation where like you don't really have much to bring off the bench except for like youngsters like Eddie Nketiah. Mm-hmm. That's a really big issue. Like, Chelsea might... Is Kante going to be back?
Kante's supposedly back. Kante's
going to be back, but they're missing Adoy, and they're missing Ruben Loftus-Cheek. But at the same time, I still think Chelsea have a stronger squad.
100%.
Yeah, they weren't relying on those two earlier in the season either.
I was going to say, quickly bring back to Mkhitaryan. Mm-hmm. It's also like a footballer's career is tiny in retrospective to other careers.
Like timescale.
Yeah, timescale. So if you think about, and as a footballer, it's not many times you reach a final of a competition, let alone it being in Europe as well. Like, that whole kind of part of it of him missing out on such an occasion is another thing which I think people kind of not looked at either.
Yeah.
Like, imagine how extreme the situation is for him as a player to turn down the opportunity to play in a European final. He must really believe he's not safe. So obviously it's an absolutely huge issue.
Or at least that he would feel unsafe enough that he would not be able to perform like without thinking about it.
I just don't understand as well how they could guarantee his safety. Like, you're in a stadium
of
60,000 people and he's on the pitch. Throw something. Someone could easily throw something. Someone could run on. Imagine
a lot anyway, doesn't it?
To run on. There's no way your security guards get every single one of them.
Zach, Chelsea.
How am I feeling? It's weird because I honestly, in all, like, I want to be Arsenal because that's what it is.
Football.
But I don't really care.
Fair enough.
Because we're in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only
are you going to watch it?
What, this Wednesday? Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Yeah.
Are you working?
I don't know. I've honestly done my schedule more than 2 days beyond where
I'm busy.
Doing.
I can't see it. I'm not going
to
see the game.
I've invited both my flatmates to a viewing of it in our own flat.
Have they said so yes? So you mean they're going to come to the living room at the same time?
I invited them to a viewing, and then Lydia was like, should I be calling out Lydia?
Yeah, it's out there now.
Lydia was like, well, is there going to be rosé? I was like, yeah.
Oh, bless. So I mean, you got compromise.
They're going to watch it, but only if there's rosé. And I've said if it's really... Well, obviously, I said they can only wear red. But that won't be listened to.
It's a weird one. Who knows? Like Higuain can play as well, which is good. And I hope it's his last game for Chelsea, I'll be honest. You know, there's also the Czech situation as well. That's a big thing. I thought...
Chelsea Pete.
There must be so much pressure on that man right now. Because, like, even if he does a mistake, it's... Your technical director, mate. What are you doing? This is all on purpose. You just want them to win. Like, it's brilliant for me.
It's classic Chelsea behaviour.
It's awful.
Leak this, like, going into the final.
What
an appalling club you have. I'm quite glad about, like, the teams in it. I think it will genuinely be quite an interesting match. I think they're...
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Chelsea have been consistently better than Arsenal in the league, I think that the
Chelsea-Arsenal match at Stamford Bridge...
was really competitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a very good match.
And actually, the one at the Emirates was more competitive than it ended up looking.
Yeah.
Like, but it's... I think they're actually two interesting sides. But on the other hand, I think, like, if Eden Hazard has a game...
Especially, like, if it's his last game. His last game, he'll be so determined.
Maybe he's phoned it in like you have, though.
Don't say that.
Maybe he doesn't care either.
He's done his job.
Wow.
Actually, in his press conference, he said if it is his last game, he'll put the most amount of effort he's ever put into anything.
Wow. So, you have to believe everything that's said in press conferences.
Hope Mustafi just boots him in the knee in like 4 minutes.
Liz's most hated player.
Guarantee Mustafi plays.
We caught his final, though, as well. Like,
it wasn't that hard.
Well early in the season, we called this being the final.
Right,
Chelsea,
so let's stay on the Chelsea topic and move into our second story today, which is the future of Maurizio Sarri, Zach.
Oh, God.
The Chelsea boss is reported to be a target of Juventus after Allegri moves on this summer. And Roma.
Surprising. it's sad-ish because...
Do you, as a Chelsea fan, do you want him to stay?
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I said, if he can get Champions League football and win a cup, it's amazing. Whoa. But I said, if he can get Champions League football, again, amazing. Like, that was his targets, was to get Champions League football. And probably they said, win the Europa League, maybe. And he's in the final there. He's been in two finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, like, he was quoted saying, if my season comes down to me playing one match...
Yeah, it was when he was asked about, do you think your job lies on the Europa League final? And he said that...
Yeah, if it comes down to that match, then he'll leave immediately.
He was which like, is I've absolutely been here 10 correct. Months work. Yeah. If it all leans on 90 minutes, then I want to leave.
This
it,
idea when
right.
they're like, ex-manager has got one game to save his job. It's like, but then you've already decided to sack him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like,
no
and one he's can ever... got top four.
And one game can mean anything.
And like, he's come third. He's come third to two teams that were insane this season.
Yeah, he came like, off Spurs.
Of course, they're about losing to City 6-0. Other things that happened. But that was always going to happen.
I think it's more like his... attitude, isn't it? That
sure. I mean,
the riles the Chelsea fans up. For.
Yeah, I think the people aren't the biggest fan of how he doesn't have this B plan. He's never wants to play. He never wants to move Jorginho. Apparently, there's rumours in the dressing room that things aren't always great. Like the whole Gary Cahill thing when he came out was not fantastic.
Whatever.
But at the end of the day, like this is what annoys me. People kind of. We went from a few managers that played defensive counter-attacking football.
Mm-hmm.
To a manager that wants to play attacking possession-based football, and everyone's like, "Why have we been so bad this season? Finishing third above Spurs, who were fantastic, have made the Champions League final, and Arsenal and Manchester United. Like, this is what's annoyed me because everything's going to take time, especially if you're going through years and years of players playing different style of
football.
Commit
to changing the ideology, then you've got to commit to giving him time.
Indeed,
though, the concern is that if Hazard goes. I honestly don't know what happens because that's the problem. I agree. I think Chelsea have been better than people think. I think the squad's better than people think. Mm-hmm. I think Sarri's done a better job than people think. I also think that Eden Hazard going is a massive problem.
100%.
Because
100%.
Well, in a normal transfer window, I think there are guys out there who would fit that role. Like if you think about how Hazard's played for Sarri, if you think of how Insigne played for him, then you think Coutinho is potentially available, Dybala's potentially available, and these guys are actually fit that
role.
Don't
tease me.
And they also don't really have other places to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there aren't many Chelsea would have been perfect.
I mean, there is fingers crossed, there's still a chance.
So why, if Sarri can be tempted out the door by Juventus, what if you had to try and tell him why he should stay? Why should he pick Chelsea over you, babe?
Sarri, mate. Sarri. I know they've got Ronaldo. I know you're going to win the league. I know you're in the Champions League and have a good chance of getting to the final. I know you've got money to spend, but mate, look what you're building here. Look at the youth. Look at the youth players you're bringing through. One, Hudson-Odoi.
But now you'll have to.
Exactly.
You can't buy anyone.
This is another good thing.
Also, I'd be like, it's going to be a matter of time before I get sacked.
Yeah.
If I'm sorry, I'd be
the
like,
issue with the
if they're talking about
Chelsea
this after
job.
A season, it's a matter of time. Yes. And so by the time I get sacked, the Juve job won't be available anymore.
Indeed. Like, in his eyes, I don't see, like, everything's very attractive. And especially if this whole thing of coming. With Frank Lampard coming in and stuff like that. But. This whole season is essentially as well, the next season coming would be a pass. If he got sixth place, he would literally just go to everyone. I couldn't buy anyone. What do you want me to do?
And I lost Hazard.
Like, so, that's it. Mm. He's got
Patrick,
a free card here.
Why would you say he should leave Chelsea and go to Juve?
I mean, from his point of view, kind of like Zach says, like... he's going to win the...
Zach did argue the wrong side for a lot of that.
He's going to win the league
Indeed. Like, he's going
to win
players.
The league. He's going to have money. He's going to be able to buy people. Like, they're in the middle of a squad rebuild that will be quite exciting.
Also...
Like,
it's an easier job.
Chelsea's really thankless.
His managerial career would technically be going up. Like, going from Chelsea to Juve is an
Napoli
up.
Like, leaving Italy and going back as manager of the champions.
I'd also just look at my team and I'd be like, okay, we've got some young players coming back next year, but there's no guarantee my squad's going to be better. In fact... my squad, if I lose Hazard, is going to be worse.
Yeah.
Positively, 100%.
Whereas I'd go to Juve and I'd be like, the squad's already pretty good and it looks like they're making interesting moves and I think I could do some interesting things with these guys that I've got. Like, because I'd look at Dybala and think, okay, there's my Insigne. Mm-hmm. I'd look at Ronaldo. I think there's my prolific striker. You know, Ramsey, there's my Hamsik. Like, you can map on quite a lot of the players. Like, even... because you basically invert it, right? So he had a really attacking left wing at Napoli.
Yeah.
You could have a really attacking right wing at Juventus with João Cancelo and Dybala.
True.
I think that
it's quite an easy slot in.
I think
who's the
really,
right back?
Really
Cancelo. Yeah,
Cancelo
yeah.
So I think it would actually be like super enticing for him.
I do feel like he's a man, though. In all honesty, who
correct?
This is me also being a bit biased and trying to have some belief he'll stay. That. Would feel unaccomplished if he was to leave after 1 year on a 3 or 4 year deal. Maybe. After having not really been able to fully show what he can do. Because this is, I always bring it back to the beginning of the summer. Like, the man did not get the transfers he needed to be able to play the football he is so determined to try and play.
You don't hire Sarri to then make him play in a different way. Surely he must have had the guarantee that he'd be able to play that way.
I mean, I think a lot of managers have had several guarantees at Chelsea, and that's not happened at all.
But I mean, on the other hand, they did go and spend like 70 mil on a keeper for him.
Sure, but again, that's necessity.
But they didn't have to spend 70.
Well, I mean, who else would we be buying for a keeper?
There are all sorts of keepers you could go for. You don't have to go and spend 70 mil.
But the good thing with Kepa, right, is Kepa was, one, young, so he can stay at Chelsea for a long time. And two, whatever manager comes in, there's their number one keeper straight away.
Yeah, sure, but it just feels
so like... So apart from that, the other signings, Kovacic on a loan deal, which I think he got as a surprise. He didn't think that was going to happen.
treat.
Higuain, which he did want.
And Jorginho.
And Jorginho. Yeah. And Rob Green.
50 million, isn't it?
Yeah, Rob Green.
So, but you can't sign one
player. That was so bizarre, wasn't it?
I think it's probably to do with homegrown quota.
And Pulisic now.
And Pulisic now. Everything else, we're just going to have to hope Reece James is a great right back.
He is a good right back.
Well, you still got Aspie as well. Like, Aspie isn't dead. Yeah, I know, he's just old. So, I mean, I don't know. Chelsea could be fascinating next year. I hope they're trash. Like, as much as I like Sarri, I hope that they're absolute bush.
I'm really
I hope you hire Frank Lampard and I hope you get relegated.
Well, on that note, Metro are reporting that the Chelsea board do really want Frank Lampard.
Stupid.
What do you think?
So stupid.
Do you know what? I think it would be mad.
I'd understand
but
it.
But it's not as stupid as hiring Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No, I would agree with that.
Really?
Yeah, because Frank Lampard has gone to Derby with all of the Chelsea backroom staff who've been at Chelsea for so long.
Okay.
And like Jody Morris, who has been like an exceptional manager for their under 21s.
Yeah.
And like he won the FA Cup, in the FA Youth Cup like five times.
He won the Champions League. The moment he's left,
Chelsea Youth have dropped out. They're not playing as well.
He's been a great assistant manager.
And when I worked there, I did a lot of work with the reserves before I was here at Football Daily. He was such a good manager. Like, and I just think how he was coaching the reserves.
I mean, that's a really big statement, especially if then he's not actually gone into management. No, he's gone into assistant
exactly,
manager
but I'm
for Frank Lampard.
I think Frank Lampard has a network of support surrounding him that's been bred in Chelsea.
Yeah. I agree.
I think it would be absolutely silly for them to do it after one season.
That's the only thing that I'm against, right? Like, he's had
I can see why the Chelsea board think, hang on a minute, all of our old people have just gone and got all this success. Let's just bring them back because it'll be loads cheaper and we'll probably have to pay a big severance package to Sarri and we've just lost in court to Conte.
That's part of the Juve deal as well. If he goes to Juve, they have to pay the £5 million.
Yeah.
But the thing with Frank Lampard is that job is always going to be there. Don't run before you can walk.
Very true.
Don't run before you can walk. Like, okay, great, you got the best out of Mason Mount and Tomori. That's two players from a youth system in the Championship. Are they going to be starting Premier League players for Chelsea next season?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, okay, say he gets promoted. Fine. Let's see how he does then in the Premier League. If he's quality, sure. That's another season under his belt. And then he's proven he can do it consecutively. If they don't and he does it in the Championship, and again, he gets promoted next year or gets into the playoff, I'd be more happy with that because it's not luck, possibly. Like, this could all just be one lucky run.
Yeah, like, surely if he took Derby into the Champions League, then he should be
Leeds are better than Derby. They are better than Derby.
And,
like,
don't get me wrong, I think the football they've played, Derby have played as well, has been very attractive, but they've been so reliant on loan players.
Yeah.
Harry Wilson, Tomori,
Mount.
There's several others that I can't remember. I know there's about five. But that's a lot of players that you don't necessarily, like, you will own and you won't have next season. So say next season, those players all go and he tries to get new guys in and it doesn't happen. Like, then it's just, it's a fluke.
Do you think, though, Frank Lampard will look at kind of ex-footballers who have gone jumped in the deep end at management and kind of be like, like Thierry Henry, before he could walk with Monaco.
Thierry Henry, I always thought, was like an intelligent guy, but I think it was like so foolhardy of him to take that job at Monaco.
Yeah, but
like,
I think it'd be so hard to say no.
Yeah. It would.
I think if Chelsea were in
really dire straits, then Lampard would be like, I have to go. But if they came to him now and they were like, we're thinking about sacking our manager, would you come? Then I feel like if he's really smart, Frank Lampard would say, I'm not ready for that job yet. Come to me in 2 years' time.
100%.
Like, because yeah, it's not like Chelsea are like really like in dire need, where I would understand then, like, at least with Henry going to Monaco, you can argue that like Monaco are in danger of relegation. Yeah. Monaco is a club that gave him his start in football. Maybe he thought,
take a risk.
I have to try, even if it's embarrassing for me, I have to try for them.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine Lampard feeling that way. But in this situation, if he's smart, and actually I do think Frank Lampard has historically shown himself to be one of the smarter, more thoughtful footballers. Yeah.
What's that famous thing about? He got an A star and O levels. I love that when everyone's like, "Oh, very, very
fair
good
play,
good.
Well done."
GCSE,
mate.
GCSE
so did many of people.
Well, so, you know.
I mean, he's
just as clever as you.
I got an A star and I did a degree in it. Shut up.
You never know. He could be fluent.
But could be managing Chelsea next season.
I'd be amazing at managing.
I've always wanted. That's one of my biggest dreams. Someone from FD just gets put in charge of a club for a year and see what happens.
Sometimes I think about it and I'm like, you know what?
I love how your biggest dream, though, isn't you. It's somebody.
I would not be.
I'm not ready for that.
I'm not ready for it. And I would also think I'd be good behind the, like, in the background stuff. I don't think I'd be great as a manager.
I'd be an amazing technical director.
Yeah.
I think like just identifying players and being like, sign those players.
If there is
I
a
always
club,
thought
I'd
be a really good football agent.
You are quite cut.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I literally know. I'll be the press officer. Yeah, you can't answer that.
Press officer.
They get screwed over.
Oh yeah, that's the best job.
You need to dream bigger, Zach.
And they go, no,
mate. Though one final thing I did want to say about Lampard as well. Yeah. I thought his business on like bringing Ashley Cole back was very smart. Like although he seems to be bringing all the boys back, because apparently Gary Cahill's now linked with them.
But he's going to run out of people.
Chelsea,
his mates he can just call up.
Pete Cech's retired, so he'll be knocking about. Plenty of time.
Chelsea beat Jesus. No, but I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be against it if it happened. I wouldn't be annoyed, but I just think I'd rather keep Sarri, and also just because I think Lampard will be a beneficiary of spending another year or so at Derby or in a lower level club.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
But a lot of clubs are now looking to hire their ex players. Is looking at alumni
That's
Patrick
so weird
the
now.
Best the best option? Barcelona have been doing it for a very long time, haven't they?
I think that it's generally a really bad idea to get people who are not necessarily the best for the job. Like, I think that's a really weird attitude. And this idea that they know the club, I feel like if you've been out of the club for 8 years, you shouldn't know the club. The club should be totally different.
Yeah.
Like, so when Arsenal are like, well, we want to hire Edu as technical director because he knows the club, it's like, he hasn't been at the club in over a decade. If the club's the same as it was then, that's really, really worrying for you. I don't know. I mean, there's the odd like success story. So like Ajax is a success story. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Ajax have an incredible infrastructure. And these are things that they get
that
players...
And that doesn't change so much.
Yeah, and they get players to think about this stuff like when they're youngsters. As opposed to like Pete Cech, who I imagine this season has not been thinking about who he's going to sign for Chelsea this summer. He's been thinking about playing in the Europa League. Now
he's probably just been so angry at Mustafi.
This
summer he's going to take off the helmet, take off the gloves, and what, go straight into the boardroom and like call all his contacts.
It's going to look so weird with him without a helmet. Have you thought about that?
I've seen him without a helmet.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to be odd.
He does look more serious, though.
Maybe he'll wear it anyway. Just with
that, I would rate that so much. I would rate that so much. He's just... That's a weird move, man. It feels like Chelsea have had that job open for 2 years and they're just trying to give... Molina, is that her name?
Marina Granovskaya.
Yeah, it feels like we're just trying to now give her a break because she was essentially doing two jobs of one. She was the person...
She needs a
break. Yeah. I mean, that was also a weird one as well. Someone who's never... dealt with looking for players in their life suddenly became.
I think she was
director.
Involved. I think, to be fair, Marina Granovskaya seems like she's incredibly competent, but she can only do so many jobs at once. Like, I mean, Man United, I think, are actually doing an even worse version of this at the moment because there was a story today. I think it was in the Mail.
It's not Fletcher,
where it said they're seeking to emulate Liverpool's transfer committee structure, and the way they're doing this is by getting three ex-players: Darren Fletcher, Rio Ferdinand.
And
you're like, that's not what Liverpool's system is. Liverpool hired a bunch of guys who were like astrophysicists and professional gamblers and got them to do quantitative analysis, which they paired with like an elite scouting network and Michael Edwards, who's fantastic. Like a bunch of people who are really good at their jobs. And Klopp gets some input as well. And by the way, this is run by FSG, who, as much as they have problems, FSG... Have you seen Moneyball?
Yes.
So at the end of Moneyball... the Boston Red Sox try and hire Billy Bean, and the guy in the film who's trying to hire Billy Bean is John Henry, who owns Liverpool. Like, they were quite early adopters, like, of the kind of Moneyball system in baseball.
Yeah.
And they have pioneered statistical analysis in football, the combination of statistical analysis with old school scouting. And Man United have been like, well, I guess we'll hire Darren Fletcher and Rio Ferdinand.
Carrick is 100% the third one.
Almost certainly. So I honestly just have no idea. Like, I don't really get this idea of just like, let's just hire ex-players. Everyone loves it. I think it's since the Guardiola thing.
It's a job for the boys, man. It's
since
a job
the Guardiola
for the
thing, I think there's been this idea of, what if we get the next Guardiola?
Yeah.
What if the next Guardiola is actually Andre Santos?
Yeah, but he was under Johan Cruyff.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's clearly weird. And he's unusual.
He's mental.
Man.
I'm not going to say something.
I won't let anyone talk badly about Guardiola on this podcast.
No, but he is mental. He's an obsessive.
Yeah.
Like, all he cares about is football.
He's
and
a constant winner.
But also, people say he's arrogant, but actually, and he is in a way, but he's also got the humility to like try and learn new things all the time. Whereas someone like Solskjaer thinks that he can manage the way that Ferguson managed. So he comes out to the press.
That's much more arrogant.
He comes out to the press and says stuff like, oh, well, some of these players are going to be sold. And you're like, nothing makes me think a manager is out of their depth like them like talking about their players to the press.
It's such an old managerial tactic as well. The other thing, like in Pep Guardiola's terms, like I don't think there's anyone else in football right now who breathes, talks, loves football more than Pep Guardiola. The man is mental. Like, I can't remember if it was Sergio Aguero.
He's a psycho.
I don't know about that. Like,
I really like him too.
Yeah, he's psycho.
This is why Pep goes through burnout.
Because he can't keep that level of obsession for three years or four years.
He's just doing football, 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 football. Like when he goes to sleep, he's 100% thinking about football.
Yeah.
Aren't we all? Our next section is headlines. Zach, you're brand new to this. Do you want me to run you through it?
Yes, please, because I definitely don't know.
Have you not been listening to all the episodes of The Gamescom Mad? Absolutely outrageous. I hope you're subscribed.
I am subscribed.
Have you given me a 5-star rating?
I've retweeted it several times.
What? You're on it every week.
Yeah, but because I'm on it, I don't
need
to listen to
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you should subscribe and give it a 5-star rating.
I am subscribed. I will start listening to it when I'm in the gym.
I do delete the Sunday Vibes Extra Time podcast religiously every Sunday when it comes into my inbox.
Fair enough.
I love podcasts. They're so fun to do.
But right, so basically this section
is
I'm going to give you a headline from football that's been a piece of football news this week.
Okay.
And I just want a quick reaction.
Okay, cool.
Yeah?
A quick reaction.
Yeah.
What's that mean? That I go in depth about how I like to talk? That was in English. That was in English.
That was in England.
But yeah. More of that.
I said that was in English. All right. I got it.
First one is Conte to Inter is a done deal. What are your thoughts?
Great for Inter. I mean, I like Spalletti, but for whatever reason, it seems like he isn't a great fit there.
Mm-hmm.
They do a horrible job building that squad. I think that squad's a disaster. you know, it has great players, but it's all over the shop.
100%.
And Conte is absolutely the guy I would get to fix a horror show squad.
Yeah. Like,
Conte is the guy who says, oh, you know what? Like, maybe we'll just play this guy on the wing. And like, I don't know. I think Conte's just a great manager. And frankly, I think, to us, Inter doesn't feel like a big club anymore.
Yeah.
This feels so far below his level. Like when you consider that, like Arsenal are being managed by Emery, you know, and Dortmund are being managed by Favre, and then you think, and Barcelona are being managed by Valverde, and yet Conte is only going to Inter.
Yeah.
He's better than all those managers.
Mourinho take over Juve. God, Jesus.
Do you think?
I don't know. Mourinho won't be out of a job for much longer. He loves it too much.
He's not good at his job though.
Well, I think Conte Inter makes perfect sense. I think you get the best out of the players there. If he keeps Icardi, that's fantastic.
Do you think they're punching above their weight?
No, I think.
Or do you think Inter is?
I think Conte likes that kind of stuff. Like Conte likes being a bit of the underdog sometimes. I think
likes being a big fish.
Yeah, I think because now if he can get him Champions League football, he's done his job, which I think he can do with that squad. If he can keep Icardi, that's so good. I really like I hate the rumours of Lukaku to Inter.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hope it doesn't happen so much. That'd be such a bad signing.
Why?
Because he can keep Icardi.
I don't know. Maybe they're telling him that Icardi like. They're planning to sell him.
Why go for Lukaku?
Because Lukaku's great, man. I'm sorry.
I know he's great. He is great.
Lukaku is great,
but I feel.
I feel like he's not great.
I think there's better players you can get.
Mate, Conte got Victor Moses in the team of the season.
Yeah, he's also trying to get Victor Moses to Inter Milan.
Yeah.
I heard about that. But that's fine. He was great for Conte. He was so good. Well,
I do quite like that when managers do that, though. And managers obviously are just like, do you know what? He was great. I'm just going to have you again.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
quite like that.
I think it's sad. Okay. Get over yourself. Jesus Christ.
Whoa,
what's it? Maxwell just
whoa.
Having a love for Ibrahimovic. Come on, man. Jesus Christ.
Right. Before you get even angrier, let's move on to our second story, which is Vincent Kompany, player-manager of Anderlecht.
Love it. So sick. I really
after
hope.
After all the thing about, like, why would you hire an ex-player? And you're like, oh, Vincent Kompany to Anderlecht.
Because Vincent Kompany could be the next Pep Guardiola. He's been taught under Pep Guardiola.
No, Mikel Arteta is the next Guardiola.
No, jog on. He's never come back to Arsenal.
Yes, he is.
No, but he is such an intelligent footballer. And I do think it's sad. I do think
he does seem like the nicest man in the world as well.
He does. Yeah, he does. He's very thoughtful, isn't he?
Yeah. He's just clean.
In the City documentary, where he's just in his family, like the family's bungalow house, and just watching City play whilst he's injured.
Just take the piss out of his father-in-law.
It's so good. He's such a laugh. But I think it could be really good for him. I mean, he's also not going to a massive club like Henri did. And Anderlecht, somewhere where apparently over conversations, they really feel good about this move and they want him to be there for a few years.
It seems like just go straight into management, though.
I mean, yeah. I always find player-manager deals weird.
Oh, I really like that because I love the idea that a player-manager can be like, do you know what? You're all playing rubbish.
I mean, if he's not...
I'm on.
If he's I'm going to start myself every game.
But if he's not starting, it's weird. Like, is there actually any player at Anderlecht that's better than this company?
I think it's probably like he'll probably play if he could.
What happens if you play, though, and you get injured? And then normally you go straight down the tunnel.
Yeah, you can't.
He's got to, like, sit on the sideline and be like... I just don't know how you concentrate on... I suppose if he has... It comes down to who's his assistant manager, right? Because the assistant manager is going to have a lot of responsibility.
I hope they're not playing
Aguero in a few years, get the whole band. And David Silva as a technical director. Get the band back together.
Mini Man City.
It'd be so good. I'm really hoping it goes well for him. I just think he's one of the most lovely footballers ever. And
he's just lovely.
He really is.
The idea of player managers?
I think they're funny.
They are funny.
Is there any other weird, like... Barnett. Anomalies of in football that you'd like to see come back a bit more?
What, golden like swap rule. Deals, and
the
stuff.
Penalty shootouts in America,
golden goals. Oh, the penalty shootouts, so good. Yeah, like the hockey penalty, basically. No.
Swap deals are boring.
Scissor kicks. No one does scissor kicks
anymore. Yeah.
They used to be a massive thing when I was a kid. Like, you practice like bicycle kicks and scissor kicks. Literally, like, why? They're not a part. They're
when
not
are you
a
ever gonna need
football.
That? Yeah.
Like, they just don't happen.
You'd like to see some more of that.
Yeah. Managers bringing on players to play in a friendly. I mean, fans to play in a friendly. I think only Tim Sherwood did that once, let him sit in the
bench,
and then someone else did it ages
ago. He's the worst bloke, Tim Sherwood.
Right.
Next headline.
One day the men in suits will understand. Patrick, do you know what I'm on about?
Yeah, this is Ada Hegerberg, is it not?
It is indeed.
So she refuses to play for the Norwegian women's national team because of unfair treatment, basically like inequality in the treatment of the women's national team and the men's national team, despite the fact that the Norwegian women's national team is way better than the men's. Basically she just said that she didn't think that you could separate being a footballer from fighting for equality, which I think was a really perceptive and intelligent comment. She's only 23. A lot of young players don't really think about this stuff until later on when they're coming to the end of their career and they start to think about like treatment.
I mean, Hector Bellerin's been on as well.
Yeah, but I think that's because most young players aren't playing football as a female football player.
Yeah,
100%.
If you had 100%. To like suffer the
especially
I think
the world's best female
she
football
has,
player as well.
Yeah, like. But imagine
it's like Messi saying, "I'm not going to go to the World Cup, even though Argentina have qualified."
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm
not getting treated fairly.
Yeah, the treatment is unequal.
But it's a good way to use her voice, though, and it's not just her. It's not just speaking out about it. It's actually putting into action, isn't it? Because now the best player in the world,
the most commercially viable one, as well,
isn't going to be at the World Cup, and that's like she's probably the one female football player that most football fans will know.
Indeed. I think one of the things I remember I read in the interview you shared, Liv, was she essentially said, we need to change it from the bottom up. The way the women's game is treated when you're a child, in terms of like, it's a squad of boys and there's two or three girls that are joining in.
Because she says in this interview, which is actually on the BBC website, she says that you have to start with like letting little girls dream of being in football, and then if we all commit to making that change, then hopefully that will change. But maybe her saying it, she's going to be the first person to actually make a difference.
I would be very surprised if this not brought up in the World Cup. if it's not brought up in the World Cup, it'll be very surprising. But I will love to see in, say, 15 years time, mm-hmm. the girls who are, say, looking at her as an idol,
yeah,
mm-hmm. what they'll be and what the game will
it
be
seems
then,
because a lot more accessible to that generation, indeed, surely, indeed. Because she's speaking out about it,
exactly. Yeah. And I do think this year as well, the women's game has grown massively and been fantastic.
The game's gone mad.
Like that whole thing with the Atletico Madrid stadium where it got sold out, and then the Juventus stadium.
I think it is about to boom. 100%. But she's probably raising this issue at a very good time.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed.
But just imagine if it was the men's game and a player, best in the world, scores a hat trick within 60 minutes in the Champions League final, and then they didn't go to the World Cup.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Through choice.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
92% of Real Madrid fans have voted Gareth Bale a failure.
Wow. What, his whole time a failure? Yeah.
Really? Are you being serious?
I mean, he literally won them the Champions League like last year.
Right, so 92% say it's a failure.
Absolutely wrong. The man has actually had a decent time at Real Madrid. I mean, apart from injuries, which have
his trophy cabinet's looking all right, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I think,
is it one title or two titles? No, it's one title and
one title,
four Champions Leagues.
There's like UEFA Super Cups,
I think 13
in there,
trophies,
all of this stuff. I mean, Copa del Rey's like,
yeah,
it's
ridiculous. Didn't he win the Copa del Rey?
Yeah, he scored in that 13-14, they won the Champions League in the Copa. He scored in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
He scored the goal actually that put them 2-1 up in the Champions
League
final.
Imagine any other club, he'd probably. They'd be saying he should have a statue, wouldn't they?
They're still annoyed they've lost Ronaldo. That's
Tottenham
it.
Would have like, made a DVD for him.
And he hasn't been good this season as well.
Yeah, he hasn't, but he has been injured. I think he's coming to the end of his career.
It's
now.
Almost like the anger surrounding Sarri at Chelsea. It's more like his attitude again.
He's come out in several... There was a press conference I read, or an interview I read recently, where essentially he's not enjoying football anymore. Like, he essentially said, I used to love it as a kid, whereas now, for me, it's just a job. And we've kind of sensed that all the time. He, like, doesn't really hang out with his teammates.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't
Can't
know
Spanish
fluently. And that's always going
to
be
that's
an
not
effect,
to do with
right?
football. It's like, if you want to enjoy life, do you not enjoy life in Spain? Like, that's the thing. I feel like it's okay to be like, look, they're my colleagues and we work together.
Sure,
we're not best friends. But, like, I do think not learning Spanish is like... I think he's.
It just seems
if
crazy
I his agent,
if he were to
I'd
go
like,
and live in Spain. And
I mean,
not
his agent.
If
I were his agent, I'd be like, I would do everything I could to keep him from ever being in front of the camera because he's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, but his agent is stirring
not
as great. The pot.
Yeah, but
as well.
Yeah, but at least his agent, like, I understand what he's trying to do. He's an idiot, but he's trying to do something. Like, whereas Bale, I'd be like, we need to stop Bale saying things because he keeps saying things
that aren't helping with his relationship with fans
help.
Either.
And also, like, the fact that he hasn't learned Spanish, like, he just looks arrogant. Like, he doesn't look like he's like. Oh, you know, like, they leave me out, you know, I'm sad. Yeah. Like, he looks like a knob where he's, like, intentionally removing himself from his teammates. And that may not be true, but that's how it plays. And so you can understand now that Real Madrid fans, rather than being like, oh, well, you know, he was injured all the time, and that's really frustrating, but we still love him because of what he's done for the club. They're like, we hate him because he acts like he's too good for them.
Yeah.
So another player-manager rift... might have formed between Tuchel and Mbappe, but PSG have said that the France striker will remain at the club next season, despite what he said at the Ligue 1 Player of the Season Awards.
Isn't it now that he'll leave after they win the Champions League or whatever now? Or something? I just want him to leave. Wow. Just get out of there.
Yeah,
get out
I agree.
There. Come to the Premier League. Just
He won't come to the Premier League.
Oh, believe. Like, he'll be
Who's going to sign him?
He's so good. He's
but,
so
but
good.
This just feels like, I don't know, this is... Break this is classic, deals. Like, and I feel actually the Bale thing's kind of similar in that it's clubs and players getting themselves into contracts without thinking about the consequences. So, like, Wilfried Zaha as well signed a big contract because he was like, well, I want more money now. And fair enough, it's a short career, like you said before. But on the other hand, now you're probably stuck at Palace forever because no one's going to pay enough to get you out.
Had the transfer request.
Same with Real Madrid. Yeah, but it doesn't matter because they're going to be like, we want 80 mil. Like Real Madrid, same thing with Bale. They gave him a big contract till 2022. Now they're saddled with him. Mm. And with Mbappe, Mbappe said, I'm going to go to PSG and it's going to be great. And I'm going to win another couple of titles. And he's won another couple of titles. But now he's kind of like, you know what, Real Madrid looking for a striker. Yeah. Barcelona need somebody to play off the left. You know, like Juventus might need another forward.
He's got a lot
Man
of other
City
options.
Might want another forward at some point once Aguero starts to decline.
I thought it's
Bayern Munich would be a striker. And yet here I am at PSG at a club which will probably not win the Champions League for the foreseeable future. And I could be here till I'm 25 and have missed that entire portion of my career.
Yeah. Ooh.
I think what his choice of words, I think, weren't exactly what he meant to say, but I think that was because of how young he is. I say as if I'm a lot older, I'm only a year older than him. Still, like, I do feel...
I bet he's not this good at podcasts.
Hey, everyone's got every nice. Silver lining, isn't it? Everyone's got their own trait. I don't know, I just want to see him rip it up, and I want to see him play... I don't know, just PSG annoying me sometimes.
If they're not
going to
sell him,
good.
Then he's not going anywhere, is he?
I'm just never going to watch him and play for PSG. That's a problem.
That's the issue. It's not. You would never turn on a Ligue 1 game.
Almost never.
Almost never.
I'll watch PSG like Lyon, but that's about it. Yeah. That's the only game I want to watch in that division.
Well, you're selling football to all of our listeners. But that doesn't matter because we're done with football talk now. Hey. This is Patrick's favourite section, Anything But Football.
Yes.
I've been trying to get this name into something for so long. Anything But Football is one of the best names we've ever come up with.
Incorrect.
Is it?
The Dogcast. I've got three topics that are Anything But Football.
Love it.
And thanks.
Nice.
You two can pick what we talk about, okay?
Nice.
Let's go.
One, Eurovision was this week. The Netherlands won it.
I'm not really that big into Eurovision.
You watched it though.
Yeah, because I didn't have a TV in my room at that point, and Temps and Kieran and Joe watching it in the living room, so I had to.
I was speaking about it on Monday, and Kieran was really into it.
They were hammered.
I think they're weirdos.
Can I talk about that?
If you pick Eurovision.
Legal drinking age. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they were very...
Is that the only way you watch Eurovision? Because
I mean,
apart from I do love.
We were making our own cocktails and gave up on the recipe and just started chucking everything in. And
what did you put in it?
We were trying to paint porn star martinis, and we bought all.
You're like passion fruit.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. All of it. Bought passion.
Me and my friends did that as well for a girl's sleepover.
Oh, it's fantastic! It's actually
very similar.
Really enjoyable. And
did you do face masks too?
Not that night, but we had done on other nights. To be fair. I love a face mask. It's fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, right. Sorry. So, first option is Eurovision. The second option is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which the new trailer came out.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Tarantino film.
Read a bit about it.
Ooh. Yeah. Prepared for that one.
Indeed. All right,
cool. And the third is Jamie Oliver's Collapse. Whether or not Turkey Twizzlers are coming back.
Couldn't care.
Not interested.
Like, I've never cared about it. Naked Chef. Put some clothes on.
He did have clothes on the Naked Chef.
Yeah, he did.
I never watched it. That's how little I care.
Because it came out in like 2000.
So, between one or two, what do you want?
Pick a hand.
You're right.
Oh, but I don't want to do two.
You don't want to do two? Okay, no. Well, let's do Eurovision. Okay, Eurovision.
Right.
Okay, so I don't really get Eurovision, because Eurovision just seems like it's kind of like people who are boring, but they describe, they're like, oh, mad me, like, and you're just like, oh, God. And what they do is they get together and they like drink a bottle of Blossom Hill and it's like... Watching Eurovision, they're like, Eurovision's crazy. Oh my God, it's so funny.
No, I watch it. We watch it take the piss out of everyone. It's so like, we were hammered just watching.
Are any
people
of them good?
Stupid. No, they're all terrible.
I would only watch it if I was alive when ABBA were in it.
Fair. Temps put money on it as well, which was also quite funny because he was just shouting at Italy to win.
Oh, but I understand that, because if the moment you bet on it, it becomes interesting.
Exactly.
That's how I try and convince people to watch
football. I mean, it is terrible. It is so bad.
What day was it on? Saturday?
Saturday.
On a Saturday?
Not everyone's
That's
out
prime
every Saturday.
Day.
I know.
Well,
We were meant to, because we were going to pre-drink whilst watching it. And go out. But everyone got hammered way too quickly.
Because of the martini situation.
Yeah. Kieran was,
how long is
Kieran
it?
Was so out by half, oh, it's like so long. It starts at like 8 and finishes at midnight. Oh. Kieran's half asleep on the sofa
Did
by
you
11.
I went on Twitter Saturday though. Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah, well, that's what Twitter is. Anything
oh my
that is,
God. All the losers in the world have Twitter.
Ever watched Game of Thrones?
Twitter is like...
Did you ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
All on Twitter
I know,
though.
I'm so much happier on Instagram. Like, Twitter's just freaks me out.
Instagram's annoying as well.
I know, like,
no one's watching Eurovision on it.
Yeah, I just cannot get to 6,000 followers. Though. It's just pissing me off.
Well, follow Patrick.
I need like 30.
What's your
I don't know.
At PVS.
Patrick BVS.
BVS, yeah.
Yeah, my initial.
More interestingly, you should follow Patrick's cat.
Yeah, my cat is tight.
Russian blue. My mum's getting a cat.
Yeah.
Ooh, what type of cat?
It's a mix between... Oh, I spoke to her about it yesterday.
What colour is it?
It's going to be a kitten. Oh. It's a mix between...
No way.
Yeah, no surprise. Could be a rescue. It's a mix. I can't remember what it is. It's like a... Is it Siberian?
Yeah. Something. They're like Siberian, fluffy white cats.
Yeah, it's like a mix between that and another one.
They're hypoallergenic Siberians, insofar as cats are ever hypoallergenic. Like my cat, like, is a Russian blue. Like, so if you get allergies to cats, then they're a good one to get. And they're really fluffy and fun.
I love fluffy things.
So I've just got to reply to a text on Olivia's phone.
So the podcast has quickly descended into utter chaos. So I think we'll end it there. Thank you both for coming to be on the Games Gone Mad. Zach,
no worries.
How did you find it?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Really loved the chat before we started recording as well. That was great.
Yeah, that makes for some excellent content, wouldn't it? Brilliant. Right, thank you for listening, and go and check out Sunday Vibes Extra Time for more of Patrick Van Straten.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.